a safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio. I'm Kim Catola. So glad that you could join us tonight. It has been a busy week for me. I just arrived back in my hometown area of Atlanta, having been in Alaska for the week. And if you're listening online, I encouraged a bunch of folks in the Fairbanks area, not far from Wasilla, to call us at 1-800-811-3003. Because this program airs on the World Wide Web, which means you could be listening anywhere, and the call's on us. So if you're listening from Alaska, that would be awesome. 1-800-811-3003. I was there to help the CareNet Pregnancy Center of the Tanana Valley with their annual fundraiser. And what a great group of people, and what a warm welcome I got. I did do a little bit of sightseeing. I went out to see the pipeline, which is amazing. Heard stories about people, you know, who try to climb on it, and it's like, okay, unless you're an expert log roller, that's a really bad idea. And I also went and visited a historic television and radio station there that's in a log cabin that has the sod roof with the moss growing like you see on the fjords of Norway. It's in North Pole, Alaska, KJNP. They've been on the air with Christian content for the last 45 years, so that was a treat. But it's great to be back, and I really appreciate the fact that you can go anywhere in the United States and find help for an unplanned pregnancy. That's what the pregnancy help movement is all about. And really, that's the point of this broadcast, too, because I cannot come to you week in and week out trying to encourage you that there is hope and healing after abortion without telling you who you can connect with for that help. And friends, it is. It's in the pregnancy help movement. And their ministries, their standalone ministries that are doing God's work everywhere within the sound of my voice is not just an American phenomenon. It's an international ministry. And so that was just a joy to be able to go and help them with their fundraiser. And tonight we do have a healing resource that we're going to make available. And I think we have a theme tonight. We're going to talk with our guest, Georgette Forney of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, about speaking out as one of the aspects of the healing journey after abortion. You can't do that unless you've been healed of the shame, I don't think. But, you know, for me, it's been a real journey to learn the difference between being shameless and shame-free. And that's one of the themes that we'll talk about tonight. And our healing resource is, again, a copy of the DVD, Sarah's Choice, a great story about a young woman who finds herself in an unplanned pregnancy. She also has a friend who had made the choice for abortion in the past. It's a great resource. Not only that, but it's a fun movie to watch. It's very well done. And we'll have a copy of that as you call in tonight with Bible verses on healing shame. All right? So if you call and you're willing to go on the air and share your favorite Bible verse about healing shame, hopefully something God has really imparted into your heart from His Word to help you overcome shame, we'll get a copy of Sarah's Choice into your hands. All right, so here's the number again. It's 1-800-811-3003. I'm Kim Catola. This is Cradle My Heart Radio, 1-800-811-3003. So now, yes, as I mentioned, Georgette Forney is our guest. And the Silent No More Awareness Campaign is working to expose and heal the secrecy and silence that surrounds the emotional and physical pain of abortion. It's a Christian campaign reaching out to people hurt after abortion by encouraging them to attend aftercare programs, as well as inviting those who are ready to break the silence with opportunities to speak the truth about abortion's negative consequences and the path to healing. Georgette, it is a pleasure to welcome you to Cradle My Heart Radio. Good evening. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, great to be with you. What a pleasure and honor. And, hey, fun to hear that you were in Alaska. Good job
well,
on that.
I think, you know, their center has been up and running for a good, 20 years. And it's a well-established ministry there. And I'm still shocked, Georgette, as you probably are too, that so many people in the church who definitely would say, I'm not in favor of abortion, I want to help women avoid that choice, are not aware of all the good work that is happening in the pregnancy help movement already.
Absolutely. It's one of those terribly well-kept secrets. But that's what your show is doing. It's helping get the truth out there. So this is fun.
Good. And of course, the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, I know, has had partnerships. I see you often at the annual conferences, the equipping organizations that are helping the pregnancy help movement. Tell us about, I want to hear about your organization. I want to connect people to your resources. But before we do that, I know you have a personal stake in this discussion, Georgette, of how abortion impacts women and families. I'd like you to start by sharing your story with us.
Well, Kim, you know, it's always hard to share. No matter how many years, you just don't sometimes like to go back, and it's always especially hard at this time of year because it was the first week in October that I had my abortion when I was 16 years old, which is a whole lot of years now. I'm 52 years old, so, you know, you begin to lose count sometimes. I was 16. I'm the youngest of four kids and was always kind of like the good girl in the family and didn't want my parents to be disappointed in the fact that I was sexually active at an early age. So a friend said you could have an abortion and nobody would know I was pregnant. And so I scheduled it and made the appointment. I had no idea what it was. The other day I was reading a testimony from one of our regional coordinators, which is the leaders that are on the Silent No More Awareness Campaign team, and she was writing about this, and she said, you know, you can't undo a pregnancy by having an abortion, but that's really what I was trying to do. I was trying to be unpregnant, but instead what I really did is I aborted my child. Unfortunately, for 19 years, I was able to keep that reality in a closet. And every time that I would hear the word abortion, I would be reminded, and it would feel like somebody stuck a knife in my stomach and twisted it. But I would promptly actually go get a glass of wine so I could numb the pain and get distracted. I hated thinking about my abortion. I hated being aware of the fact that I had had an abortion. And so for 19 years, I really worked very hard to, in essence, not think about it. And it was, gosh, it was a weird day. I was in 1994. I was cleaning out some things, and I came across my yearbook from my junior year in high school when I had my abortion. And it was that yearbook that triggered memories that made me go back and realize that I didn't just have an abortion, but that I aborted a child. And I was able to go back, and I remembered, you know, being in the clinic, and I remembered the nurse touching my shoulder and telling me everything would be okay as she held this stainless steel canister next to my face. You know, she was walking out the door. And so I had all these memories that were coming back to me, and I realized that I had taken the life of a child as I stood there, you know, with this yearbook in my hand, but feeling my baby and feeling a loss of this child. And that's what is interesting in discussing abortion, is that as long as we keep discussing abortion, it's almost like it's on a sterile, kind of theoretical. But when we start to talk about what we really feel in an abortion procedure and the trauma that's involved and what we've lost in a child, by the time I had gotten to this point in my life where I was really realizing, it was 19 years later and I'm standing there in my basement with my yearbook for my junior year in high school, you know, I now have a 5-year-old who's in kindergarten And I'm a mom, and I love being a mom. And I, you know, I'm, you know, flashing before my eyes all the things I've missed. And, you know, you're aware of the fact that, you know, you missed potty training this child, and you missed, you know, her learning to tie her shoe and you know, ride a two-wheeler. And but it was interesting because it clicked that she was going to be 18, 19 years old, and, oh, I missed her prom. And all of a sudden, I knew she was a she, and I'm weeping for what I've lost in this child, this person that was supposed to be in my life, but that I denied. And it was like God broke through 19 years of denial in the reality that it wasn't just an abortion, but that I aborted a child. And it was sure. That moment that changed my life, really.
Georgette Forney is our guest, and our phones are open at 1-800-811-3003. Copies of Sarah's Choice, if you want to share a Bible verse on shame and encourage someone, especially if you have been healed of an abortion in your past, as I have, as our guest Georgette Forney has. There are people who have moved from the shame of what Georgette has just described, having it finally dawn in our hearts, finally accepting what exactly has been lost and what exactly has happened, into healing, into wholeness, into being this new creation that Christ promises that we are when we are in Him. So if you have a verse that you want to share, it doesn't have to be related to your abortion experience. Maybe you haven't had an abortion. I pray that fewer and fewer people listening to this program would call because they need that help. But you can encourage someone who's listening who may still be feeling trapped in shame. So call us with your Bible verse, and we'll get you a copy of the DVD of Sarah's Choice. 1-800-811-3003. And of course, you can speak with our guest, Georgette Forney. So Georgette, how did you move from grasping all that had been lost? And it's such a compelling story. I mean, I can picture you there with the yearbook. How did you move into healing?
Well, you know, it was funny because I was in a Bible study with two younger girls that myself and another and my best friend were mentoring. They were younger, and we were like the older, wiser ones. And the younger girl, one of the younger girls in the group, had said about 6 months earlier than this, she was talking about the fact that she was in counseling, and she had had an abortion and in college, and now she was, you know, a new mom, and the baby was, you know, 8 weeks old, and she couldn't bond with the baby, and she realized that she had a problem, and she went to a counselor, and that's when she began to understand her abortion had impacted her ability to bond with her child. And so she's telling us the story and the fact that she's going through counseling and at this Bible study, and I said to her, "Oh, Dana, it's no big deal. I had an abortion when I was 16. Get over it. You know, get on with your life." And I thought I said something brilliant, and the other women around the table kind of looked at each other, and they were so dear and they were so sweet because they started praying that day for me to kind of let God into my heart on this issue, because clearly I had not let God into my heart on this issue. I had not dealt with this issue with the Lord. Even though I believed in Him and He was my Savior, I had not really brought this issue, because in all honesty, I didn't think that He would forgive my abortion. So, ironically, there I was in my basement crying, and the only person I thought that was safe to call was Dana. So I called Dana, and Dana came over right away, and her mom, who's another one of my dear friends, came with her, and they sat there in my family room on the floor while I wept in their arms. And they kept saying, "It's okay to cry." And I couldn't stop crying. It was like all that grief of 19 years of having somebody lost that you finally owned up to and that you finally let out. And Dana said, "You know, the program I went through, it's called, you know, Forgiven and Set Free, and you can go through it too." And I did. And when I went through this abortion recovery program, Forgiven and Set Free, it's wonderful. There's lots of great programs out there. You know, there's books like Kim's now that are helpful in helping women you know, really understand and apply the scriptures to forgiveness. But it, for me, it was really life-changing. I understood that God's love was unconditional regardless of my sin. As once you confess it, you bring it to the cross, he really takes it and it forgives it. You know, as far as the east is from the west is what scripture says. And it's true. And as I realized and accepted his unconditional forgiveness and love, I had to forgive myself. And I had to forgive the other people that were involved. And it was kind of like, it was life-changing. I mean, you know, it's a kind of a corny thing to say, but understanding that God loves me regardless of what I did in the past was so freeing and so empowering. And I basically made a deal with God that if, you know, if my daughter, who was, you know, now, you know, going into first grade by the time I went through healing and all that, I said, you know, God, if you ever want to use this, you know, I'm sure Becca will find it. My daughter's name is Becca. You know, when she finds out, I'd be happy to let you use my story, Lord. And great deal. And, you know, he had other plans. And Becca found out when she was 8 years old. She found something and read my story. I had made some notes in my Bible, and she found it. And she asked me questions. And I had to explain to an eight-year-old what an abortion was. And, Kim, I always tell people that that's when I think an advocate was born. Because it was so hard to tell an eight-year-old that her mommy had taken the life of a child. You know, I mean, she said to me, well, if you were pregnant when you were 16, where's the baby? Yeah. Well, I aborted the baby. Well, what does abortion mean? How do you explain what is an abortion to an eight-year-old? I mean, it was in that moment. I kind of looked around and I went, hey, where are all those women that talk about how wonderful abortion is? Mm-hmm. Where are they now? Mm-hmm. You know, can somebody come and help me here? And you know, my daughter, who was eight at the time, understood abortion was wrong because it killed a baby. And she said that to me. She said, Mom, you had a baby. You were pregnant when you were 16 and you killed your baby? And I had to say yes. I had to be honest. And it was in that honesty, though, that, you know, God really it took that healing, as you said, you know, when you share your story. It was out there now. You know, she knew. So the truth was on the table now. It wasn't just kind of like I'm healed and I've been forgiven, but it was still a secret.
Sure, sure.
And so, yeah, and so when she had, you know, she found out, then I had called our pastor about when she found out to tell him in terms of, you know, is there any advice, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he was cool about it, but he called me a couple of months later, and he was like, well, now that Becca knows, can you share your testimony at church? And I'm like, no way, that's crazy. I'm not going to do that. And it was so funny because, you know, God gets us. And we were driving down the road, and Becca said to me, or I said to Becca, she was, you know, in third grade now, she's sitting in the backseat of the car, and I said, you know, Pastor Jeff has asked me to share my testimony in church about my abortion experience, but I don't think it's a good idea. And out at the back seat, I hear, Mommy, I think sharing your story is an important part of your healing. And I knew in that moment that God had spoken.
Wow.
So I knew I had to share.
Oh, Georgette Forney, we're going to take a short break. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that, what a dear image. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. Your phone calls are coming up. Here's a great verse on shame. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. That's from Psalm 34, verses 4 and 5. Share your favorite verse on shame and win a copy of the DVD for Sarah's Choice tonight. We're talking about the Silent No More Awareness Campaign. Our guest is Georgette Forney. It's 23 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to Cradle My Heart Radio.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby. I was already struggling to care for one child, so I had an abortion.
I had trouble conceiving again.
I tried to commit suicide.
I started to have nightmares.
You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
That's why we are silent no more.
We found help and healing, and you can too. Call or go online today.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio. I'm Kim Catola. Thanks for listening tonight. Our phones are open, 1-800-811-3003. If you do not have a Bible verse to share, that's okay, too. We just welcome your phone calls, 1-800-811-3003. But I think it's fabulous for us to be able to share when God gives us a verse that has really helped us, and we can share that with others. So if you have one that has helped you overcome guilt and shame, please call and share that with us. 1-800-811-3003. Our phone lines are open. And as always on our program, the ground rules are you can remain anonymous. You don't have to give a name, or you can make up a name and call yourself someone else. I understand the sensitivity around the issue of abortion. And so we just want this to be a safe place for us to have the conversation. Let's go to the phones now. And Anne Marie is here. Anne Marie is listening in Minnesota. How are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. And so you're involved with one of the local chapters of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, Anne Marie.
Yes. I've been actually in 2002, I held a sign, a homemade sign that said, the worst choice I made, abortion, stop it now. And then on the other side, it says, stop the lies, tell the truth, abortion hurts women. And that was at our March for Life here in St. Paul at our Capitol. And a few weeks later, I called Dr. Teresa Burke from Rachel's Vineyard, and I said, you know, you don't know me, I'm from Minnesota, but don't you think that there's enough women that have gone through healing that we can bring them to Washington and, like, stand up and start speaking out? And she said, that's a good idea. Why don't you do that? Well, I was by myself in my own state capitol, and just through the Holy Spirit, you know, he just moved, you know, people, women across this country. And I was in with the movement from the very beginning, and we held our first event January 17th of 2003 at our state capitol.
Well, full disclosure, I have participated in some of Anne's events, and we're friends. And
yeah,
and
I just,
Georgette.
Hi,
Georgette, you know Anne Marie as well. And you
yes,
know, and it's an amazing thing. I had a different reaction at being part of the Silent No More events, and we can talk about that as we go along. But the events are always in the public square, and there's a reason for that. And maybe, Georgette, maybe you can talk about that, and then Anne Marie, I want to ask you something separate from that. But what's the idea behind having women and men share their stories literally in such a public way?
Well, it started out as kind of an opportunity to juxtaposition the message of the NOW and NARAL and the Planned Parenthood voice that was standing up and saying, you know, abortion is great, women want abortion, and women who had abortion standing up and going, wait a second, we're the consumers, and we'd like to recall this product. You know, like, you know, this is not a good product. And we really felt it needed to be out there. We weren't sure if the media would cover us. And, you know, we weren't really being, you know, noticed by the media. So we decided to kind of bypass the media and go out onto the streets, if you will, and the sidewalks with our big black signs with the white letters that say, I regret my abortion. Because we wanted to reach the girl on the street that was hurting but didn't know help was available. I mean, you were talking earlier about people not knowing about the pregnancy centers being available and the help that's out there. It's the same thing with post-abortion ministry, that people don't know that there is such a thing. So we thought if we went out in kind of, you know, right in the public place, in front of the Supreme Court building and, you know, San Francisco and Main Street USA. We do it here in Pittsburgh.
College
it's the
campuses.
Market Square. Huh?
College campuses.
You know, wherever people are, and we stand out there and we hold these signs, people come up and talk to you, and you can minister. I mean, not only have we ministered to women and men, we've connected women who are pregnant and were scared and were thinking of having an abortion with healing programs. A lot of women have said, wow, you know, you're somebody that has had this abortion and not many people are talking about it. And you know, it doesn't sound like it's a good thing. And then we'll say, well, go and, you know, check out the 1,700 almost testimonies that are on our website, or the 250 video testimonies. Listen to those and see for yourself whether or not, you know, this is a good choice. You can't find women that stand up and say, I am grateful that I had an abortion. You know, you don't find women who would say the opposite of, I regret my abortion, which would be, I regret having a child. So we were trying to engage the public, and that's really what we do. But I'm glad you said at the beginning that not everybody is called to do that. Kim, you noted that in when you were introducing me, that sometimes it's hard to share your story. And being silent no more, for some of us, is being very public and sharing our abortion testimonies. But for other women, and for what I hope the majority of our sisters and brothers will be doing, is they'll actually be just talking to the kids and their families, the young people, their nieces and nephews, to let them know that this isn't a good choice, and that, you know, as a woman, having an abortion, you know, is a permanent decision that you carry with you the rest of your life. And as a man, losing a child to abortion is not something that you ever forget, even if you try to. And so we need to tell the next generation, we've been there, we've done that, and, you know, I don't think it's a good thing to do. I think it's a bad service that Planned Parenthood and abortion clinics offer, and frankly, I really think that it's a product that should be pulled from the market.
Short break, and then we'll be back. Our guest is Georgette Forney, and we're also talking with one of the local leaders for the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, and taking your calls at 1-800-811-3003. I'm Kim Cotola. You're listening to Cradle My Heart Radio, and it's 32 minutes after the hour.
Back to Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003.
This is Kim Cotola. Thanks so much for joining us and listening tonight. We appreciate it. And our number is 1-800-811-3003. By the way, there is an event that's coming up on Facebook called Women Redeemed 2.0. It's on October 10th. And you can get all the details if you will go to my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/cradlemyheart. You don't have to necessarily let people know that you've visited the page, although you can like it even if you're not, you know, that doesn't get disclosed anywhere that you've liked the page. But we're going to have a chance for you to enter into hearing some conversations, not only about the issue of abortion, but also sexual abuse and miscarriage, some of the things that cause women shame. Abortion is such an occasion for shame. And October 10th is the date for the Women Redeemed event. So you can learn more about that, again, on my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/cradlemyheart. I sure hope you'll join us for that. I know they're going to be giving away an iPad. Our publisher, Kriegel Publication, the publisher of all of the books of the three women who are on the panel, this is just an encouragement for you to join the webcast and let your healing begin, especially if you've been bound in shame because of some of these difficult life issues. Anne Marie is on the phone with us, and then our guest tonight is Georgette Forney. Both are with the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, Georgette at the national level. And Anne Marie, talk about maybe just the most memorable moment as you have been presenting these public events with women and men talking about their abortion stories. Maybe just pick out for us the most memorable moment that you can think of at one of your events.
Well, Kim, I believe you were there. It was at the U of M campus. It was our first time we were on campus there, and I had went around 2 days prior and put up little flyers all over the place saying that we were going to be there, we were going to give our testimonies. And And I thought, you know, we would, you know, draw some attention and stuff. And we actually had protesters protesting against us that we were there. And we actually had a woman with a homemade sign that said, "I don't regret my abortion." And she had a baby with her. And anyhow, that it, and you know, I'm really glad they were there because it drew other people in. They were more interested in what was, why is this crowd here, and what's the, you know, the opposite of what's going on here is, you know, there's one people are up there, you know, with their "I regret my abortion" sign, and the men, I think, were holding "I regret lost fatherhood," and these people were saying, you know, "My body, my choice," and we were giving testimony, and I think that was probably one of the most interesting, memorable events that we've had doing Silent No More Minnesota. I've had a lot of interesting things happen in Washington, D.C., as Georgette knows, being there and everything. When we stand on the side in Washington, D.C. for the March for Life there, we stand there with our signs, and we have women constantly coming up to us and saying, whispering in our ears, "Me too, me too, thank you for being here." You know, anytime we hold a public sign, our sign out there in public, somebody is always coming up to us, walking by, and saying, "Me too, me too." So,
Well, it's nice to connect with you, Anne-Marie. Thank you for being part of the discussion, and thank you for what you do. I will never forget that encounter on the university campus.
That was crazy.
I mean, and Georgette, you know, not having the benefit of being there, a friend had to take my forearm and say, "Now, Kim," because it was hard for me to be patient and listen to deception being put forward. Thanks, Anne-Marie. Appreciate you calling in tonight. I hope we're going to see you when I'm in Minnesota next time.
I hope
Georgette, let's talk about the fact that, okay, so we're in the public square, and one of the things that I've learned is I've been doing post-abortion ministry for the last 10 years now and engaging with people, listening to their stories, trying to offer God's love after abortion. There's this, you know, there's kind of a general confusion out there, especially if you take it into the public square, oh, so you're political. And I think what it's important for people to understand, one of the things I've come to know, especially because I've come from a background in journalism, broadcasting, you know, the sloganeering and the rhetoric from the abortion rights organizations are that, well, pro-life is playing politics with women's lives, trying to remove women's rights, when in fact, the abortion rights movement, hello, that's their name. They're talking about rights and politics. You know, so give us an answer for that, for those who feel a little bit uneasy about, you know, taking this out into the public square because of the political nature of it.
Well, and, you know, that's one of the most important elements about the Silent No More Awareness campaign, is that we have made a defining statement to say we are not political. Our goal, in all honesty, is not to make abortion illegal and change the courts. I want to make abortion unthinkable and unnecessary because I understand what it does to the women. We know it kills our children, but I also know that the damage it does to the women and the men. I am shocked that, as I said earlier, you know, women have I almost sometimes feel like this whole idea of abortion rights has been the exploitation of women, that somehow or another this right to abort was supposed to, you know, equalize us with men and that sort of thing. And there aren't, you can't equalize us. We're different, you know, but the reality of what was going on for years with this women's right to abortion was that nobody was asking the women themselves to stand up and speak. Now, if you're dealing with any other topic, you bring in the people who have actually had the personal experience to be your endorser of the product. But in this circumstance, it's the only circumstance that I can find that you really have found that the people that are promoting the product aren't trying to find the consumer to endorse their product. Quite the opposite. they tried to shut us down. You know, when I started working for Anglicans for Life, which is one of the two ministries that actually co-sponsor the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, Anglicans for Life and Priests for Life, our two organizations support it and underwrite it. But what got me involved in developing this campaign was that, you know, I started working for this ministry, and we're doing pro-life work and we're educating the Anglican Church on these issues. And I've had an abortion, but I'm looking around and we're talking about the political, we're talking about the legal, you know, positioning and, you know, where the Supreme Court is and which judge is going to help us overturn it. Everybody's talking, but nobody is asking the person who's actually personally experienced it. So I said, excuse me, don't you think it would make sense for you to hear from the women and the men who have personally experienced this thing? You know, like, hello, what other issue is the one voice of experience totally ignored? And that's really what we're about, is we're trying to say, quit ignoring our voice. It's time for us to be part of the discussion. Mm. We're the person, we've gotten on that table. We've had that vacuum cleaner put into our body. We've had our child sucked out from in our uterus. Let me tell you how that really feels. Let me tell you how that impacted my life. And that's why we are Silent No More.
Hmm. Georgette Forney is our guest, and she is with the Silent No More Awareness Campaign. I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but I do want to give the phone number again if people want to call and share a story or encourage what you're doing or just give a reaction. I guess if you want to disagree, of course, our phone lines are open. We're here for a discussion at 1-800-811-3003. And Georgette, as I'm listening to this, I think what happens is if you're not engaged in any kind of public discourse, then, you know, any discourse at all starts to look and feel political. And if someone tries to label that as political activity is actually pretty strictly defined. It's legislating, it's lobbying legislators, it's trying to impact the law and spending money to do it. That's what political activity is about. And, you know, Planned Parenthood, for one, is deeply involved in all of that through their political action committee,
Kim, I really think when you start listening to our stories,
right,
and people can read tons of stories on the silentnomoreawareness.org website, what you begin to realize is this isn't good for women. And
right.
So they don't want our stories. They don't want our voice. And
sure.
That should be a red flag to anybody. If your product can't be endorsed by the people using it, that means your product is probably not really that good.
Well, and I
and
think,
that's
too,
why they keep shutting our voice out.
I think so, too, Georgette. And I think my experience, because, you know, I had steadfastly ignored the conversation publicly until I began to have a degree of healing myself. And because I was working in media, you know, I was then following what God said to do, speak out and tell the truth and try to warn people, because I know that's a big part of what Silent No More is about, is trying to, you know, make it, as you said, unthinkable, trying to prevent abortions through your stories, through our stories. You know, people, the feminist movement, the feminists in the town where I was living at the time were, as you said, they came out in opposition. It wasn't even that they were, you know, not interested in helping. They were in opposition to offering a healing message, which is so telling. I think it's, and it's very surprising to people who are not aware of how deep the battle is for the hearts and minds of women, both before and after abortion has impacted us personally.
And, you know, I guess the bottom line in all of this is, do we really want our daughters to have to repeat our mistakes? Do we really want another generation of women hurt physically, emotionally, spiritually? Do we want another generation of men who manifest their own grief in ways that makes it harder for them to trust women and vice versa. I mean, abortion has even put a major schism between men and women. And so we're looking when people use the word abortion rights, it always can, my mind always kind of goes, like that they can't go together because abortion is not right. And there's no way you can make it right because it's wrong not only in the death of the child, but it's wrong for the people involved.
Mm-hmm. Georgette Forney is our guest. We'll take a short break. Here's another healing verse about shame from Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity and in whose spirit there is no guile. And appropriate to our conversation, when I kept silent, Psalm 32, verse 3, when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my vitality was turned into the drought of summer. But I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Short break. It's 47 minutes after the hour. We'll be right back. You're listening to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
Thanks so much for listening tonight. Our guest is Georgette Forney of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign. Our phones are open at 1-800-811-3003. And Georgette, we had a caller off the air with a question for you, wanting to know about whether or not Silent No More is ever standing outside abortion facilities to try to get people to understand the message at that point of contact. And I really don't know the answer to that one myself. I know that there are, as we heard, there are lots of public gatherings, but have you staged gatherings or have you organized gatherings outside of abortion facilities with the I Regret My Abortion message?
We have. The first week, it was funny, when we first started the campaign back in 2002, I had... You know how you start something, you have a vision of how it's supposed to be, and then God says, well, you're kind of close, but let's, you know, tweak it here and there. And we always encourage our local leaders to really follow and, you know, seek God's guidance. And I had one of our leaders call me, and she said, I really feel like God is telling me to take the sign and stand in front of a Planned Parenthood clinic. And I was mortified. I was like, oh, my gosh, that's kind of extreme, and that might be, you know, emotionally traumatizing for her. But I said, you know, well, if God wants you to do it, try it and see what happens. And she did. And, you know, she was able to have really good conversations. And since then, you know, we've come to the place where we understand that it actually is very engaging for the young girls that are going into the clinic to meet with somebody. And so now the women are out there. We always encourage them to go in pairs. And they're definitely included in the 40 Days for Life. When the folks are praying, they'll often have the women from the Silent No More Awareness Campaign as part of their teams. The 40 Days for Life campaign this year started on a Wednesday. And I want to say, it was the first Thursday. It was right after it started. There was a baby saved because one of the women in Austin, Texas, was holding her sign, and the girl saw the sign. And her mom went in, and they came out, and they went back, and they talked to the woman holding her sign, and they said, "We can't do this. We don't want to hold your sign in 10 years." And they left without having an abortion.
Wow.
You know. I could tell you half a dozen stories like that.
Sure.
You know, it's incredible. We had one lady, actually, she was down in Miami, and she was holding the sign at a clinic down there. And the woman drove up to have the abortion, And she stopped and she said, "Oh my gosh, you're the woman that was in my dream last night and you were holding that sign."
Mm.
Seriously, I was like, "Oh Lord, this is incredible." You know, so God is doing something with the signs and he uses them, and it's just, you know, God uses a lot of different things to help people find healing, find hope, get the truth. And that's what every Christian needs to be about, is doing what God tells them to do and walking in obedience, because he
sure.
uses those things. And,
sure.
and that's what the women do, is they use their testimonies for God's glory.
Let's go to the phones. Caller, go ahead, please. You're on with Georgette Forney. We have about 3-4 minutes before we're going to have to sign off the program, but I would love to have you give a chance to speak with Georgette. Go ahead, please. You're on Cradle My Heart Radio. Caller, are you there?
Hello?
Okay.
Hello?
Hi, go ahead, please.
Oh, yes. I was just saying that sometimes in Christian circles it's hard to share, because I had an experience. I was going to a very conservative Christian church, and a friend of mine shared about her abortion in a women's group. And the response was not what she had hoped for. She had gotten a little tired of this deep, dark secret, and I don't think that she was that aware of some of the groups that help with healing. I don't think she'd really healed from her abortion. So she decided to just share it in a small meeting in a women's group. And, you know, they were like, "Oh, my goodness." And then she was sorry that she had shared about it.
That is
so
a great point.
Sometimes it's, you know, okay. We need to be educated about how to respond about it when people are open enough to share.
That's very important.
Really,
thank
know.
You. Thank you, caller. So, Georgette, I'll give you a chance to answer that about a minute or two here. We can't necessarily expect that everyone's going to welcome us with open arms, but there's still
value in
telling your story.
We the church, though, has to stop judging and has to start loving.
That's
you
right.
know, I don't care what the you're talking about shame. You're looking at Scripture addresses shame. Why doesn't the church address shame? And shame on those women for shame on those. There you go. Shame on those women for making that woman feel guilty or feel odd for speaking her heart. You know, I've had so many people, because when you share your testimony, when you get out there and put yourself in a vulnerable position, you get all kinds of people coming up to you afterwards and sharing, you know, "I have a sexually transmitted disease," or, you know, "My husband had an adulterous affair and, you know, my marriage broke up," or, you know, "My son's a drug addict," or, you know, "I'm struggled with pornography." It doesn't matter what the issue is, but the problem is that there's this facade that we all wear when we go to church, these masks, and everybody pretends like, "Oh, yeah, I'm fine. But the truth is, none of us are fine. We're all sinners, and that's why we go to church. And it's time for somebody to, you know, kind of break the mold, out of this. And the preacher should be doing it. Everybody should be trying to look at one another, recognizing that if we aren't honest with our brothers and sisters in Christ, then we really are in trouble.
Amen.
And it has to start with the church. So I do want to encourage people to, you know, get healing, as Kim said at the beginning, get healing, and then, you know, contact us about sharing your story. We have a nice format to help people learn how to share in a simple way. Our website is silentnomoreawareness.org, and it's important that we speak the truth. Now, you have to be, you know, you have to be a little careful, and you have to be, you know, aware of who's in the audience that you know. If you're in a woman's group, though, that should be a safe place that people can share their stories.
And let's hear the website.
What I bet happened, the website is silentnomoreawareness.org, but I bet what happened in that group, which is a similar thing to what happened to Teresa Burke when she was doing group sessions as a student, is that there were many women in that group that had had abortions as well.
Mm. Georgette, thank you for that. I'm sorry that we are out of time, but if you check Georgette's resources, you are going to find a wealth of caring and support. Georgette Forney, our guest from the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, and Georgette's organization is linked at our website at cradlemyheart.org. My closing thought for you tonight is this. Someone is reviewing my book on Facebook this week, and they put a post up about that. And all it said was the book's title, Cradle My Heart, and the subtitle, Finding God's Love After Abortion. And someone put a comment that said, what has God's love got to do with killing children? And that really is the question for us, because the scandalous love of Jesus Christ has extended even unto this. And it's our job as the church, as Georgette has said, to convey that, to offer it, to make the church, which is us, the people, God's people, a safe place for people to break the silence of what has occurred in our lives. I pray that God will make you bold to risk sharing it. First ask, is this person safe? Is my church a safe place? And then speak up. We offer you God's love, and we'll be back next Sunday night with our special guest, Ruth Graham.